Hello and welcome to the International Soccer Preview by Soccer Files Canada. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Connor, and we are continuing with our preview of the CONCACAF Gold or World Cup qualifying. So here we will previewing all eight teams in the final round in separate podcasts, doing two podcasts for each team. The first will focus on the team, its history, and prospects, with a special emphasis on qualifying history. And in a separate podcast, we will look at the players, which, although somewhat artificially, we have organized by position. And we'll look at the main candidates for each position.
Right, and once again, we're considering an update podcast around Christmas time, about halfway through this qualification. So keep your eye out for that. And I'll just kind of introduce how we're going to lay out this podcast. So we're going to cover kind of three main areas. One is kind of information about the country's soccer history. That includes an introduction of the country, a look at their World Cup history, with special emphasis this time on their World Cup qualifying history. We'll also look at their regional cup history. And in the second part, we'll look at their more recent history, the 2022 World Cup qualifying record so far, and their final schedule, and just a glance at some of their key players. And finally, we'll talk about their prospects. That's part three, where we look at the rankings, their head-to-head with each of the teams they're facing here, and a discussion of how we think they're going to do. So let us begin with part one. That's mostly their soccer history, but Connor's going to start with a bit of information about the country.
Yeah, so Costa Rica are the sixth largest country out of eight competing in the OCA. They're the ninth largest in North America in terms of size. Their population is just over 5 million people, about 5.1 million. That's also the sixth largest out of the eight teams and the 11th largest in North America. So in both size and population, on the smaller end of the countries competing here in the OCA.
Yeah, well, in light of that, they seem to punch a bit above their weight.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah. Okay, we'll take now a look at the history a little bit. And do we have any nicknames for Costa Rica, Connor?
Yeah, the nickname is Los Ticos, and that's one I'm quite familiar with.
Yeah,
Often used.
definitely.
Yeah, often used for the national team.
Yeah, that's right. Announcers during games and stuff like that. Okay, well, our history is going to start with an overview of their tournament participation and their major achievements. So, they first completed qualification for the World Cup in 1958, but actually they had joined in 1938. They withdrew in 1938 along with a lot of other teams from the Americas. And I tried to research why in 1954 their entry was not accepted, but I think seven countries had their entries not accepted. So they began competing for the World Cup in 1958 in terms of completed qualifications, and they've never failed to participate since then. They also competed in the first regional competition in 1963, participating consistently since, except for one withdrawal in 1967. As a fairly small country of just over 5 million, they have a pretty impressive record. They first reached the World Cup in 1990, and from 2002, they've been regular qualifiers, with the exception of 2010. 2014 is their best result, but I'm going to leave that for Connor's close look at the last two World Cups. They're also sometimes invited to the Copa America, so we'll dispense with that now. They've attended five times and reached the quarterfinal twice in 2001 and 2004, but in their other three appearances, they were knocked out in the first round. All right, let us go back to the World Cup and kind of do an overview.
So yeah, it took Costa Rica a long time to reach the World Cup for the first time, despite the relatively easy passage the region provides. Sometimes even Mexico faltered, which made room for other teams. They finally made it in 1990, and went one step better by passing the group stage. Their next entry was in 2002, and it began a run of 4 out of 5 successful qualifications, missing only in 2010. They failed to pass the group stage in 3 of these, but 2014, which is something we will look at in more detail soon, was glorious, surpassing all expectations by advancing from a group of death, which involved Italy, England, and Uruguay, and taking Netherlands to penalties in the quarterfinals.
All right, so we'll look at that in detail a bit later. But we're going to take a look at the World Cup qualifying in a bit more detail. So as we mentioned, they just withdrew from the 1938 edition. That was actually because FIFA broke the promise of alternating tournaments between Europe and the Americas. So a lot of teams in the Americas didn't join. As I said, in 1954, their entry was rejected. So 1958, we'll start with. And there they won all games in the first round over Netherlands, Antilles, and Guatemala. But they fell to Mexico in round 2, although they did tie them at home. Mexico knocked them out in the next 2 editions, even though they did win a playoff over Honduras in the first of these. They had a better chance in 1970 when Mexico hosted. However, they finished 2nd behind Honduras in round 1 of 3, so they didn't come close that time. In fact, unlike current times, they were weaker than other teams in the Central American zone, and they fell to Honduras again in 1974, then to Guatemala and El Salvador in 1978, and then all 3 of those countries in 1982. At long last, in 1986, they reached the final round for the first time since 1966, knocking out the USA in the semi-final round. However, it was 3 draws and a loss to finish last behind Canada and Honduras. 1990 proved much better, finishing atop of group of 5 with the USA in 2nd and Mexico. Sorry, I'll start that again. 1990 proved much better, finishing atop of a group of 5 with the USA in 2nd. Mexico and Honduras were blessedly in a different group. However, they met these two in the semi-final round in 1994 and were knocked out. That would, though, be the last time they failed to reach the final round. So 1998 saw them beating Mexico and USA in the, tying Mexico and beating USA in their first 2 games. However, they were winless on the road and they finished 4th behind Jamaica that year. 2002 was their best qualification as they lost only 1 game. That game was in the USA, but they had the glory of beating Mexico in Mexico, and they finished 1st in the group ahead of both USA and Mexico. They finished far behind those 2 in 2006, though, but 3rd place was enough to qualify there. They fell just short in 2010, winning all games in the semi-final round and starting the final round with 4 wins out of 5, but then only 1 of their last 5 games did they get any points. So they finished 4th in 2010. That led them to an intercontinental playoff where they faced Uruguay and lost. We know that they reached the World Cup in the next 2 editions, but let's see if they overcame Mexico and USA as they had in 2002.
So in 2014, Costa Rica entered in round 3 of 4 into a tough group. They were no match for Mexico there, but finished well ahead of El Salvador to advance in 2nd place. However, Costa Rica was more than a match for Mexico and Honduras in the final round, where they finished in 2nd place behind the USA to advance automatically to the finals, winning all games at home, but none on the road. However, they only lost 2 of them. They were then the surprise team of the Cup, going undefeated and finishing 1st in a group of death where they had hardly been viewed as a contender, As I mentioned, England, Uruguay, and Italy were the other teams in the group.
Wow, that is a tough group.
Totally. And really seen as the group of death, but really I think seen as a group of three. But Costa Rica totally upset the odds and turned that group on its head.
Mm-hmm.
That set up a match with Greece, which they won on penalties, despite being a man down for the last third of the game. But then they lost on penalties to Netherlands in the quarterfinals, so really came within a hair of reaching the last four. Overall, it was a World Cup success beyond their wildest dreams.
Yeah, wow, what a performance. And I happened to have a Costa Rican student in a summer class I was teaching that year, so he was just ecstatic.
No doubt. On to 2018, as one of the top six ranked teams in the region, they received a bye straight through to round four of five. They passed this round easily. It was a group stage, suffering only an away tie in Jamaica, but beating Panama and Haiti twice. In the hex, they were bested by Panama and did not perform so well, tying Honduras twice. However, all that is overshadowed by beating the USA both home and away, and being the biggest contributor to knocking them out of this competition. Otherwise, they also beat Trinidad and Tobago twice and tied Mexico once, losing the other. So they finished with a record of four wins, four draws, and two losses. But that was enough for second place in the group and automatic qualification to the World Cup. At the World Cup, they lost their home opener to Serbia and went out with a loss to Brazil, though that game proved competitive as a frustrated Brazil, who scored twice in injury time to win it. They played well in their final game against Switzerland and earned a draw there, but ultimately finished last in their group.
All right, thanks for that, Connor. And let's move on to take a look at them at the regional level. So the competition at the regional level is the CONCACAF Championship from 1963 to 1989, and then the Gold Cup after that. So they're a charter member in regional competitions. In fact, I know there's a bit of history even before 1963, which I'm going to look into and maybe tell you about in future podcasts. But they were there from the beginning of the CONCACAF Championship in 1963, and they've won it three times. They won that first edition in 1963, and then they repeated in 1969. A stronger period where they finished in the top three in four of the first five editions, their fifth being a withdrawal in 1967. So as a strange mismatch between this and their World Cup qualifying, where they were kind of dominated by other Central American teams, especially Honduras. Anyway, they're moving on from 1969, where they won the second title. Their weak period was very weak, failing to even qualify from 1973 to 81. But they regained strength here sooner than in the World Cup by coming in the top four from 1985 to 1993. And they won their third title in 1989. That was the last edition of the CONCACAF Championship, and it moved over to the Gold Cup. After a weak spell in the late 90s, which tracks with their World Cup record, they have passed the group stage every time since 2000, and their best finish was second place in 2002. In recent years, they've reached the semifinals twice, in 2009 and 2017. But given their World Cup consistency, reaching only the quarterfinals in seven of their last nine editions is an underperformance, especially in 2015, where their follow-up to that World Cup that Connor just described was just a quarterfinal finish. So a little bit disappointing there. Let's take a closer look at the last two competitions.
So in 2019, Costa Rica qualified for the Gold Cup automatically as they were one of the six teams competing in the Hex. Costa Rica beat Nicaragua and Bermuda to ensure advancement from the group after just two games, so fielded a partial B team in their final match, which they lost to a surprisingly strong Haiti. This turned out to be a fatal mistake, though, as it meant they met eventual winners Mexico in the next round and went out on penalties. Moving on to 2021, Costa Rica qualified through the Nations League. They beat Curaçao away, but otherwise tied all games in their Nations League A group. So that was enough for them to finish atop and qualify them for the Gold Cup. There, they won all three games in the group stage, beating Guadeloupe, Suriname, and Jamaica, but they were not quite as convincing as the result showed, often being flat in the first half and then scoring later on in the games. In fact, Suriname almost earned a tie on a late strike that went off the post. That flatness carried over to the quarterfinal when they met Canada, who dominated them as much as a 2-0 scoreline reflects.
Great, okay. We'll just take a quick look at the zone. This is kind of getting out of date now because the Central American zone, their cup, the UNCAF Nations Cup, which is sometimes called the Copa Centroamericana, is no longer a thing. But it gives us a sense of how they perform among the Central American countries. So right now, they're probably still considered the strongest team in Central America, though that's not always been the case. We've talked about a bit of inconsistency there between the Regional Cup and the World Cup. This UNCAF Nations Cup acted as a qualifier for the Gold Cup. And it started in 1991 when the Gold Cup did, and it went to 2017. Now there's a different qualifying competition. But Costa Rica won 8 of the 14 times here, and they only finished out of second place once in 1995, where they came fourth. So they were runners-up in 2009 and 2011, but reasserted their dominance with wins in 2013 and 2014. However, it ended on a poor note for them with a grim fourth place finish that equaled their worst finish beforehand. And that was a bit of a surprise in the last edition of the Cup. So there's the history of Costa Rica. So in summary, they're probably the strongest Central American team right now. And according to World Cup qualifications anyway, the third strongest team in the region, though not all of the time. They have been regulars at the World Cup since 2002, but they generally struggle to pass the group stage aside from that stellar performance in 2014. They've not really challenged Mexico or USA at the regional level, except for that great qualification in 2002, and they still await their fourth regional title, the last one having been in 1989. So reaching only the quarterfinals in 7 of the last 9 Gold Cups is definitely a bit of an underperformance. Let's move on to see how they've been doing in very recent times. 2022 World Cup qualifying, Connor, how did they get to this final stage?
They were handed a bye to the final round, the OCA, by dint of being ranked in the top 5 CONCACAF teams, according to FIFA, in their July 2020 ranking. So they have yet to play a match in qualifying, but the games will be coming thick and fast starting very shortly here.
Yes, and I'm going to argue that that'll be a bit of a problem for them. Let's look at that final round schedule. And what do you make of it, Connor?
Yeah, they start in Panama, which is a winnable game for them, and then have home games against Mexico and Jamaica. So Mexico, of course, tough, but they do have an opportunity, I think, to get off to a decent start with the first three matches in September. Their home form will be important, as it is to all teams. Their home games are kind of spaced out, and they end with a home game against the United States. But they'll they'll hope they won't be in a position needing to win that game, even though they've done well against the States in the past. You know, that it's a tough game to win, but I would say their schedule is kind of well balanced. There's not really a really tough period or a really easy period. Yeah, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. It's a bit more spaced out than some teams who have a predominance of games maybe at home in the first part, or you know, a set of easy games at the end. This is fairly balanced. The only kind of tough spot I see there is USA and Canada in October and November. I know they'll be playing in the cold in Canada, and I wouldn't be surprised if the USA schedule it in New England or something like that to gain that advantage. And then their following away game a bit later than that is Mexico. So I could see them kind of losing all three away games in a row, which would be, you know, a bit demoralizing, do you think?
Certainly possible. Yeah, they're spaced out over three separate rounds, but you're right. They are consecutive away games. USA, Canada, two games at home, and then Mexico away. That would be the trickiest part of their schedule for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I think although all of the other teams have the same issue, you know, three games in September, three games in October, you know, four times there's three games within the space of 6 days. And because their squad is a bit older, I think it'll be tougher for them to manage. And I'm a bit concerned about their bench strength too, which I'll talk about more in the player podcast. But I'm a bit concerned. Let's take a look at their players, if you're ready to move on, Connor.
Yeah, that's a natural transition into a look at some of their players.
Okay.
So there's a lot of names with Costa Rica that have been around for a while, going back to the 2018 World Cup qualifying. Brian Ruiz was their joint leading goal scorer with three goals. He also netted one in the most recent Gold Cup in 2021. Joel Campbell's also a name that shows up there. He got two in the most recent Gold Cup and was also playing for them in the 2018 World Cup qualifiers. Celso Borges as well, scoring in both those competitions. But all those players I mentioned, Joel Campbell, 29, but the others in their 30s. So they are relying on kind of the same crop of players that many of them competed in the 2014 World Cup 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. So that the aging of the team is a bit of a theme, and they haven't really seemed to have drafted as a lot of young players to replace them. Ariel Lassiter, he's a midfielder. He scored in the Gold Cup. He'd be one player that a little bit younger that will hopefully add some goals from midfield.
I think, yeah, Ortiz is, I think, in his mid-20s too.
Yeah, and he scored in 2021 Gold Cup qualifying or the Nations League, as did Francisco Calvo and Johan Venegas. Both players, again, who competed in 2018.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, the colours on the graphic don't mean anything here. And I should say we haven't included all of the scorers there, but just the players we kind of want to mention. Yeah, you said a lot of them were there in 2014. I think there's very few names here that are under 30. Even Joel Campbell, I think, is 29.
Yeah.
And as we both said, I think that they haven't really brought in a lot of new blood. So when we take a look at that really thick schedule, I'm a bit concerned for them in terms of these players being able to manage a tough schedule like that.
Yeah, lots of games and lots of traveling is the other part of it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we always kind of fall into talking about our discussion, but actually we have a bit of business to do first with the rankings here. So, oops, sorry, I messed up the graphics a bit. By the way, for you listeners, the graphics aren't really saying anything that we're not talking about. They're just kind of a guide for us and for the people following on YouTube. Let's take a look at the rankings. How are they doing, Connor?
They're 44th according to FIFA and 51st according to ELO. That puts them in the region, the third in FIFA and fourth in ELO among CONCACAF teams. So that kind of goes with the thesis you've mentioned of kind of being the third or fourth strongest team kind of behind USA, Mexico. And that really reflects their World Cup play, if not reflecting their Gold Cup play as much.
Yeah, I mean, I see they've moved up 7 points in FIFA from June 2021, or 6 points. I can't explain them really moving up with that quarterfinal finish. In the ELO rankings, they stayed at 51.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that either. I mean, they in the Gold Cup, they basically won the games they were expected to and lost when they were the underdog. So pretty steady performance. They've been kind of steady around 50th in FIFA and 40s to 50s in FIFA and ELO, though they did reach the dizzying heights of 17th and 16th. 14th in FIFA, 16th in ELO, following their sensational 2014 World Cup. That was obviously an inflated result, and they've kind of fallen back down since then.
Yeah, I would question the FIFA ranking, putting them third, because the quarterfinals really just puts them in the top eight, and they've had that result in 2019 too. So, in my opinion, I think they're a little lower than eighth. Third? What do you think?
Yeah, we'll get there in the discussion, but there is a difference between their World Cup play and Gold Cup play. So on the one hand, it's sort of justified. On the other, it's probably inflated a little bit. I probably see them close to third, but I wonder if that kind of downward trend since the 2014 World Cup may continue, especially with an aging team, as we've already mentioned.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry for kind of starting off the discussion, tempting you into it. We'll take a look at their performances against each team now, starting with Canada. Canada's win in the recent Gold Cup has evened up their record to 4 wins, 7 draws, and 4 losses. So a dead even record there. And in 2015 Gold Cup and 2017 Gold Cup group stages, they tied both times, so they seem quite even there. But Canada with the recent advantage of their win in 2021. Against Costa Rica, they have quite a superior record of 17 wins, 9 draws, and 7 losses.
Sorry, that's against El Salvador.
Oh, what did I say?
Costa Rica.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I'm talking about against El Salvador here. So they play a lot because they basically played every 2 years in the UNCAF Nations Cup. So they played a lot of games. So once again, 17 wins, 9 draws, and 7 losses. And in recent games, they met in 2014 World Cup qualifying, where Costa Rica bested them, actually tying at home, but then winning away. And in the 2015 Gold Cup group stage, it was a draw. And they haven't met since then, as a matter of fact. Next is Costa Rica versus Honduras. Honduras was really a bogey team for them in the last century. Honduras does have the better record. So it's 15 wins for Costa Rica, 10 draws, and 18 losses. So Honduras just edging that one. And they've met recently in the 2017 Gold Cup group stage that they won 1-0. And in 2018 World Cup qualifying, they tied both home and away, and both by a score of 1-1. So a fairly even record with them, especially in recent times. Next is Jamaica. They have a much better record than Jamaica with 12 wins, 5 draws, and only 1 loss. They did tie in the 2015 Gold Cup group stage, and they also tied the first game of 2018 World Cup qualifying. But then Costa Rica won 3-0 in the away leg there. And they just played each other in the Gold Cup group stage in 2021. And Costa Rica won that 1-0. Looking at their record against Mexico, it's 4 wins, 7 draws, and 15 losses. So 2014 World Cup qualifying saw them tie in Mexico and then win at home. So they got the better of Mexico there, but not since. In the 2015 Gold Cup quarterfinal, they lost on penalties. No, sorry, not on penalties, but they lost in extra time. And then Connor told us about 2018, where they lost the away leg to Mexico, but tied them at home. And in the 2019 Gold Cup quarterfinal, you also talked about, that was a 1-1 loss. Losing 5-4 on penalties. Okay, next we look at Panama. So a superior record to Panama with 17 wins, 5 draws and 6 losses. That includes recent performances. The 2017 Gold Cup quarterfinal, which they won 1-0. The 2018 World Cup qualifying, they won both legs. And 2018 World Cup qualifying, actually Panama got the best of them there. So the two tied in Costa Rica and then they lost in Panama. And finally, it's the USA. So I just added the 2002 Gold Cup final because that was an important game. They lost that 2-0. It was long ago. 2017 Gold Cup semi-final, they also lost 2-0, but Connor described their performance over the USA in 2018 World Cup qualifying, them being a big part of the reason USA didn't gather enough points because they won at home 4-0 and then won in America 2-0. The record there is 11 wins, 4 draws, and 14 losses. So USA has the advantage there, but it's fairly close. So, Connor, do you want to do the summary here? The light red on the graphic means it's fairly close, and the heavier red means it's a pretty dominant record.
Right. So, Costa Rica has losing records against Mexico, USA, and Honduras, but the losing records against the USA and Honduras are fairly even. They have an even record against Canada, and then they have winning records over Panama, El Salvador, and Jamaica. So kind of in summary, they've losing records to three teams, even with one, and winning records over three teams. So kind of even overall.
Yeah, I'm excited. I was excited that Canada kind of drew a level in their record with that win in 2021. How about you?
Yeah, it was exciting. I think those two teams will be fighting for very similar position in the OCA. So it'll be a level of intrigue because they're very even teams currently, but also historically.
Right. Well, we're a bit shameless in our bias towards Canada, but certainly we won't focus on Canada here. But certainly going in, having won that game in the Gold Cup is a bit is kind of confidence inspiring. But how do you feel Costa Rica's going to do here?
Yeah, I think Costa Rica they're a pretty consistent team in how they perform. I think the experience, the older legs may be a bit of a detriment just the way the schedule is, but the experience is worth something too. And that's experience that Canada doesn't have, having not played in the OCA for a long time. I think they won't be competitive with USA and Mexico on the whole, though perhaps on the individual game level. And I kind of see them competing with Canada and Honduras for that third spot, which is automatic, and potentially fourth, which is the intercontinental playoff. So I see them being kind of right in the mix and on the edge and competing against Canada and Honduras in particular.
Yeah, you can't overlook the fact that they've reached four of the last five World Cups. And in general, they do seem to perform a bit better in World Cup qualifying than they do in Gold Cup qualifying. I mean, or Gold Cup. Part of the reason for that is that Keylor Navas, their goalie who plays for Paris Saint-Germain and Real Madrid before that, who was the hero of the 2014 World Cup. He doesn't play in the Gold Cup. He just seems to play their World Cup qualifier. So, maybe that's part of the reason they perform better. But my feeling is, and I know my opinion is kind of morphing a bit as we do these podcasts, but if I was a Costa Rican fan, I would have serious concerns about the age of the players and the strength of the bench. Given the how thick and fast the games are over the next little while, I think one or two injuries, which is almost likely, could leave them, with not with no players, but with very inexperienced players to fill their boots. So I'm beginning to kind of feel that Canada, and actually Honduras is the same as we talked about in that podcast. I'm beginning to feel that Canada has a bit of an edge, but I don't know if that's my bias talking. Is it?
It may be. It's one of those things where, yeah, some teams that just are consistent, like Costa Rica and World Cup qualifying, that counts for something. They have a bit of know-how and or seem to have that know-how in the World Cup qualifying and just generally perform well. And it is kind of a quirk how some teams maybe perform different in different tournaments. But Costa Rica are a good World Cup qualifying team. And often they don't just scrape in, as we've seen. They've occasionally topped the group or finished ahead of USA and Mexico. So they're quite a good team that can that come that when they qualify, it tends to be comfortable. One thing about Costa Rica too is that a lot of their players, probably at least half, are played domestically in Costa Rica. So they won't be traveling from all over the world as much as some other teams. That includes some key players like Kendall Waston and Brian Ruiz. Joel Campbell plays in Mexico, but a lot of these guys are fairly close and won't have as much overseas travel as some other teams. So that may work in their favor.
Well, that actually is a really good point, and it kind of brings me to a concern. I mean, when we were doing the Gold Cup and when we've been doing these, we've kind of consciously not been talking much about the effect that COVID will have because it's so unpredictable, And yet, we saw Curaçao actually didn't even play in the Gold Cup because of COVID. And I heard on Match of the Day this weekend that Premier League clubs were kind of discouraging players from playing in these international games, and you can see why, especially since the rate of COVID is going up with a fourth wave here. So heaven knows what effect that'll have on these games. And you're right, if a team like Costa Rica has a lot of players playing in Costa Rica. And can travel to the game, that may give them a huge advantage over teams that have a lot of players who, where their best players play abroad.
Yeah, it's a good point. Like you said, the nature of COVID is unpredictable. So really difficult to kind of imagine what the impact is, but to assume there'd be no impact, I think would be foolish. It will impact teams in different ways at different times, I'm sure.
Yeah, that makes me a bit scared for Canada, and we were so happy that they had a few players playing for bigger clubs in Europe. That might turn out to be a bit of a detriment.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think you've beaten around the bush, Connor. I would like you to give me your straight answer. Where is Costa Rica going to finish? Are they going to reach the World Cup?
I think they will. I think they'll make it 5 out of 6, and I think they'll do it automatically. They are my pick to finish in third place, ahead of both Canada and Honduras. I see them being competitive with those teams, but I see them being more consistent than Honduras and more experienced than Canada, who bring a young team of players that haven't played a lot of games in Central America or haven't played this level of important match for their country. So I think that combination of experience and consistency will see them finish third.
Well, you have thrown down the gauntlet, sir, because I'm becoming more confident in my assertion that Canada will be the third place. Maybe we'll have to put a bet on this, although I think you wouldn't want to bet against Canada. But my feeling is that, again, it's largely through preparing for and doing these podcasts where I'm now beginning to feel Honduras and Costa Rica don't really have the bench strength to do as well as they could do through these thick and fast games. So I'm going to put Costa Rica fourth or fifth. Do you need me to decide? Are you going to push me to that?
I will, just because there's a big difference between fourth and fifth in terms of potential to reach the cup. So what will it be?
Curse you! I'm going to go, I'm going to go fourth because you've persuaded me that their World Cup experience has a lot of value. Not that Honduras hasn't reached it, but I think Costa Rica is a bit more wily as far as that goes. So who knows? That may change by the last podcast that we do, but I'm going to say fourth at this moment in time.
All right. Well, we shall see.
Okay. Well, great talking to you about it. It's kind of fun when we disagree a little bit.
Yeah, maybe I'll take you up on that bet.
Yeah, let's see how it goes. Okay. Well, thanks for joining, and we'll see you next time.
Absolutely. Thanks again.
Okay. Bye-bye.